The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you.
At that very time there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and found none. So the man said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the good soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The hardest question that I deal with as a pastor, and to be quite honest, the most difficult questions that you'll deal with as Christians, always begin with the same simple word. Why? Why did my husband have to die in a car accident? Why did my young teenage daughter leave home to live with her abusive boyfriend? Why do less than half the people on this planet we call Earth have access to clean drinking water? Why does a child born in North Battleford have a greater chance at a healthy life than a child born in Africa? What do those two children do to enjoy the difference? Why? Why? Why did the cancer come? Why did the Parkinson's come? Why did I lose my job? Why? Why? These are tough questions. And as we mature in our faith, as we grow in our knowledge of God's Word, of God's will for us, of God's will for this world, we realize that there is not easy answers. But the world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like shades of gray. The world likes black, and the world likes white. We like hard and fast answers. We like to order our world in precise ways. We like to learn from our mistakes, as it said, so those things don't happen again. Well, unfortunately, some things we can't protect ourselves from. Some things do happen again. And some things seem to happen for no particular reason at all. And this can trouble us. Many a person has asked that age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the Jews of Christ's time thought they had things worked out. The prevailing wisdom around Jesus was that everything came from God, and they came in the form of a blessing or a curse. The blessings were obvious. Prosperity, large family, prestige, honor, health. And the curses were obvious. Sickness, disease, shame, infertility, poverty. People looked at this blessing and this curse, and they said, you earn either one. If you earn the favor of God, if you live in God's way, if you live a just life, you will be rewarded with blessing. If you anger God, If you don't walk in the law of the Torah, if you stray from God's word, if you mock God, you will receive the curse. You will be a victim of disease, of poverty, of shame, of infertility. And this was the wisdom. And so we don't slap ourselves in the back and pride ourselves that we have grown so much. How often have we heard the phrase, you get what you deserve? That phrase can sum up much of the theology of 2,000 years ago. You get what you deserve. God gives you what you deserve. You do well, you'll receive good. You do bad, you'll receive bad. And this is the theology that we find in today's gospel reading. Quite an event has happened. Some Galilean Jews have went to the Jerusalem temple, have made their offerings and their sacrifices and their prayers to God, and they've done something. We don't know what from history, but they've angered Pilate. And though Pilate, being the leader of the area, has sent his henchmen or his guards or police, whatever you want to call them, and they have massacred these Galilean Jews. And to make matters worse, remember, these are Jews who are worried about purity, about holiness, about following established orders. To make matters worse, to throw salt onto the wound, to add insult to injury, they took the blood of these slaughtered Jews and they mixed it with their offerings. In other words, they grabbed the offering plate and they dropped the blood in it. And this is big news. And so Christ is holding his daily press conference, as he seems to do in these stories, and the question comes up. Jesus, what did these Galilean Jews do wrong to deserve such punishment? Because you see, they're thinking, this horrible thing, they had to have brought it on themselves. What did they do to receive this punishment? And Christ gives them an answer. But it's probably not the answer they're looking for. It's probably not the answer they were expecting to hear. But then again, that seems to be the answer that Jesus always gives. The one that we're least ready to hear. The one that we're least expecting. The one that we're least prepared for. And Christ's answer to them is they didn't do anything wrong. In fact, Christ makes the statement, that tower that fell down in Siloam, people were building, and those people were killed, were they bad people? No. The fact of the matter is, those people didn't do anything wrong. But then Christ turns the tables around, and he says, don't spend yourself doing some kind of post-mortem autopsy on their lives, trying to figure out what sin they committed, what they did wrong to bring this upon themselves. Don't you concern yourself with that. Rather, look inside of you. For if you don't get yourself right with God, if you don't seek repentance, if you don't engage in acts of mercy, you too will perish. Take this as an opportunity to get yourself right with God. Wow. Christ says, look inwards. What's going on in your life? What things do you need to seek forgiveness for? What relationships do you need to mend? What acts of charity, what acts of justice do you need to engage in to fulfill your calling as a people of God? And following this, Christ goes into the parable about the fig tree. And remember, we have lots of trees growing around here in North Battleford. In fact, we have too many trees. We're going around cutting them down. They're growing into our basements, they're growing into our sewers, they're growing onto the road. We have trees everywhere. But the people who Christ told this parable to live in the desert. It's rocky, it's sandy, it's hot, there's not much water around. Thus, there's very little arable land. In other words, there's not much land that's good for growing. So if you have a little piece of land that you can grow something on, you want to make sure that you get the most bang for your buck. So everything on that land better be producing. So Christ tells the parable of the fig tree. And we're told that the vineyard owner comes to this tree and says to his gardener, you know, for 3 years I've been coming to this tree, and it has not bared any fruit. It's done nothing. Go grab the chainsaw, let's cut this thing down. And the gardener says, hold on, let me give it a chance. Let me dig around the roots, I'll spread some manure on it, and we'll give it a year. And then, if the tree still fails to bear fruit, we'll cut it down. Now what does this parable have to do with a massacre in a temple? Have to do with realizing that God is not some kind of supercomputer in heaven that sees all our sins, tallies them up, and gives us an equally just curse? For some reason, Christ has connected this parable to that thought. And again, it's that idea of what are you doing? A lot of people think, or a lot of Christians think, that to be a Christian means faithfulness. It means being faithful. In fact, I've talked to ministers of churches that are shrinking, that are slowly becoming irrelevant, and they say, we're not called to grow, but we are called to be faithful. Wrong. We are called to be faithful, and we are called to be fruitful. We might remember back to Christ's last words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. We call it the Great Commission. Christ's last words to the disciples weren't, hey guys, wait here and remain faithful in prayer. Christ's last words to the disciples were, go out, preach, teach, and baptize all nations. In other words, be fruitful. This thing of faith that we engage in is not just an inward experience. It's not a private meditation. It's not simply something we do just for ourselves, but it also involves bearing fruit. And what does that fruit look like? Well, it probably depends on your gifts. But it can manifest itself in terms of charity, in terms of working for peace, in terms of working for justice, in terms of working to bring the kingdom of God into being all around you. If that's spreading the love of God, of sharing the story of Christ with your neighbor, with a co-worker, with someone you encounter, those are fruits. That's fruits of your faith. So we can take from that parable, I think, an important lesson. Just being a tree isn't good enough. But we need to grow. We need to grow in our faith. And we also need to grow in how we express our faith, in how we work to bring the kingdom of being into existence for others around us. Whether that's our neighbor across the fence, our co-workers at work, the people in our community, or the children in Africa or Argentina, regardless, we're called to bear that fruit. We have been planted by God. We have been nourished by the Holy Spirit. We have been sustained or fertilized by God's good word. And now we're called to bear that fruit. When Christ says to those Jews who approach him, when you see these travesties, when you see these bad things happening to good people, look inside yourself and recognize that tomorrow is promised to no one. Don't put off making yourself right with God. Don't put off making yourself right with your neighbor. Don't put off stopping to smell the roses and giving thanks for the beauty of creation. Because that day is promised to no one. We live in a world where we know what kind of things tomorrow can bring. Tomorrow might bring a car accident. Tomorrow might bring a meteor that hits the planet Earth. Tomorrow might even bring the return of the Son of Man Himself. But today we've been blessed with. We've been empowered to do something. And that something is to bear the fruit. So Christ challenges us to make ourselves right with God and to make ourselves right with our neighbor. To not put off saying thank you. To not put off saying sorry. To not put off those good deeds that we're supposedly waiting for a different day to do. But we're called to get active. And most of all, we're called to grow together in faith. Amen.